Hello, I am Mahendra Gupte. Let's look at Chapter 10, Cost Management in Global Procurement and Sales. Cost elements, import and export, transportation costs, warehousing and inspection fees, import duties and taxes, agent and documentation fees, insurance and compliance costs. Now, these cost elements for import and export both will remain the same. And these are, let us be very clear, besides the cost of the components or the product that you are trying to import or export. What are the additions over and above the product that you are selling or importing? There is transportation costs, definitely required to either move your product from your place to the customer or from your supplier to the factory. Warehousing and inspection fees, you may need warehousing en route, that is at the destination port, at the origin port, and then at the destination again. And there would be customs or inspection fees that would be required by different agencies at different stages. Import duties and taxes, there would be import duties either for your customer or for yourself if you are importing raw materials, products, whatever into your country. Agent and documentation fees, most of the companies use agents because it's not possible or they do not have the people who will continuously go and get consignments cleared from the port. So agent and documentation fees would also be required. And insurance and compliance costs. Insurance is actual insurance for the product. Compliance is the documentation that is required, the additional document that may be required for a specific country if you are exporting, or for India if we are importing material from overseas. Transportation cost factors: road, low cost and flexible; rail, bulk and eco-friendly; sea, economical for bulk; air, fastest, most expensive. All the costs, transportation costs and the factors depend on speed, size and value of the goods. Let's understand this a little more. Road, low cost, lowest cost rather, and flexible. However, it has its own constraints. Rail, bulk and eco-friendly. It is definitely much more easier and much more eco-friendly to move a big amount of cargo through rail. Of course, road and rail is restricted by the national boundaries because our neighbors do not permit Indian vehicles or the Indian rail to go into the neighboring countries. Sea, economical for bulk, as we all understood. In fact, everything and anything moves by sea for between any two countries. Air, fastest but most expensive. And all these transportation costs depend on speed, size and value of goods being transported. Other import cost components: warehousing and port charges. Every time that a cargo moves through a port, it ensures that there are warehousing charges at the port as well as the port charges itself. Unless you are moving your cargo in a container, it will maybe sit outside on the port and then the port charges will be higher. Warehousing may not be applicable. Either way, there is a warehousing charge and port charges that are applicable. Customs duties. Export customs duties are minimal or almost absent, but import duties could be there. Inspection charges. Every customs will charge inspection charges, which are, in case if there is a duty payable, are in addition to these charges. If there is no duty to be paid, only the inspection charges are paid as service charges to the customs. Agent and forwarding fees, we understood, the person or the company that takes care of all your documentation, all the movement of cargo from the works to the destination, all of it is covered here. And supply chain disruptions. The supply chain disruptions are a cost because delays could cost the company differently, as well as whether the delay is with respect to delivering to your customer or whether the delay is for getting raw materials, where the loss could be much higher. Factors affecting export: overseas offices or agents, distributors, packaging and labeling, insurance, taxes and transport, and payment risks. The factors that affect exports exclusively are overseas offices or agents. You have a clearing agent overseas and his office is, for whatever other reasons, because he is not exclusive to you, could get affected, or the agent could be in trouble. Distributors, your distributor hires this agent and or he is himself trying to clear goods but lacks the infrastructure or has other problems for other consignments, he could be debarred or blacklisted or whatever. Packaging and labeling. The packaging of the goods that you are trying to export is not in line with the local country that they are being imported into. As a result, there could be a cost factor that comes into play. Insurance. You want to claim an insurance because of damages, or your customer wants to claim an insurance, put up an insurance claim, but your insurance doesn't support it, or you need to pay a much higher premium to enable your customer to put up a claim, if any, that comes up. Taxes and transport. There are normally taxes that are applicable for any export consignment, especially at the time of imports into a country, depending on the country of origin and other criteria. And there would be transportation costs and other factors of transport being available, not being available, restrictions on transport, restrictions on heavy vehicle movement, etc. Payment risks, we all understood. Added to the payment risk is the currency fluctuation, and the risk, payment risk here is where the customer is expected to pay you on time. Now, the risk will depend entirely on the payment terms that have been agreed between the two companies. Cost of sales, export. What are the costs that you need to consider when you are talking of the cost of sales of your products when you are exporting goods? Cost of the goods, transportation and logistics costs, the marketing and promotional costs, export pricing strategy, and the regulatory compliance. So here we are talking of cost of sales, which includes the cost of goods, the transportation and logistics that you need to pay at every stage to move the cargo from point A to point B, marketing and promotion, marketing costs that you would like to compensate your distributor or agent or the retailer in the importing country. This marketing and promotion may be in the form of discounts, may be in the form of some advertising materials, may be in some schemes, whatever you can think of. Export pricing strategy. This will play a major role because you would want to understand and take a proper strategy as to, are you going to price your component or your product lower than the competition, at par with the competition, or a slightly higher, trying to create a niche market in that country. Regulatory compliance does require certain documentation, and all this regulatory compliance comes with a cost, whether it is documentation, whether it is inspections, whatever is the requirement. What are the export pricing strategies once we have understood the kind of costs that we incurred just before this slide? Cost plus pricing, market-oriented pricing, penetration pricing, skimming pricing, competitive and premium pricing, or transfer pricing. Cost plus pricing is where you add up all the costs and then add a certain profit or a margin over and above that. Market-oriented pricing, irrespective of the cost that you have incurred, you look at what the market is ready to absorb and price your product based on the market orientation. Penetration pricing, you realize that your product is slightly higher as compared to the competition, and to penetrate that market, you need to go a little below or maybe at par with the competition. So that would be penetration pricing. Skimming pricing would be similar, where you just about ensure that you are at 0-0 and continue with the skimming pricing so that you are able to compensate one product with respect to the other. Competitive and premium pricing, irrespective of where the market orientation is, you decided that your product is premium and you will offer it to the market, whichever market it may be, at a premium pricing only. transfer pricing is usually used when the same single company is transferring material from one branch to another. So if you have an overseas office in place, then you would use transfer pricing to move material from your factory to this export office. Export pricing factors, exchange rate fluctuations. Now, in addition to whatever is the strategy used, you will apply, you will have to consider certain factors for export. One is the exchange rate fluctuations, import duties and taxes, transport and logistics costs, local competition, and government incentives. Exchange rate fluctuations, we all understood, currency fluctuations will matter and need to be considered before you come up with an export pricing. There would be import duties and taxes which would have been included in the cost of sales. Transport and logistics costs, your logistics would be in addition to whatever has been incurred till date, till the product has moved to the warehouse. The transport from that for the last mile delivery would be an additional cost which may need to be considered at this stage. What is the local competition doing? Are they offering some schemes? Are they offering plus one free? Things like that is what you need to look at, and this could also add to your costs. Does the government in the importing country offer you something more, some incentives which could help you in reducing the pricing and be at par with the competitors there? Cost of procurement. Now let's look at what are the costs involved when we are trying to import goods from an overseas supplier. The cost of goods, the freight and insurance, the customs duties and the additional cess, quality and inspection costs, which will give us the landed cost. The cost of goods is the actual cost of goods which are on the commercial invoice. Freight and insurance is the actual freight that you pay the shipping line and all the transporters in between. The insurance is the insurance premium that you have paid, irrespective of whether you put up a claim or no, that insurance becomes a cost to you. Customs duties and additional cess on each of those customs duties is what you pay for actual clearance of goods at the customs in India. Quality and inspection costs. Certain products, whenever they are imported, require certain inspection, third-party inspections, quality and inspections that have to be made, and a certificate to be provided. So that would be an additional cost that you would incur. And all this would give you a summary as the landed cost. Landed cost would come up as and when the product has reached your point of consumption. That means your factory warehouse or a warehouse which is besides the plant, then you would have to add the cost of movement from that warehouse to the factory, to the point of consumption. What are the import duties that India imposes? One is BCD, known as the basic customs duty, the countervailing duty, CVD, anti-dumping duty, social welfare surcharge, safeguard and protective duty, IGST and cess. Basic customs duty is the customs duty paid on the based on the HS code for the type of goods that are being imported. What is countervailing duty? Let's say if your supplier was not charged duty because he was in a free zone in that country, the whereabouts and the certificate of origin will make it clear that there was no duty paid. So at the same time, the government of India feels that you would be at an advantage, an excessive advantage, where you have not paid duty at the place of origin, and you are extremely low priced when you are importing, you would have a duty to make you at par with the other competitors in the market. Anti-dumping duty, this is imposed on such goods which are considered as dumping, are being imported as for purpose of dumping because the country that is exporting it does not need them or they are in excess at their end. Social welfare surcharge is a surcharge that you pay here for social welfare, is usually a percentage of the basic customs duty. Safeguard and protective duty is where the government of India puts up a duty to be paid to protect the local manufacturers who do not use imported materials. IGST is the import GST and cess. So this is the duty that you pay or the tax that you pay for importing goods and an additional cess, if any, over and above that. So landed cost concept, product cost plus freight and insurance, customs duties and taxes, port handling and clearance charges, and final delivery cost. So landed cost concept takes care of everything from the product cost, the freight that was paid for moving the product, the insurance that was also paid for ensuring that the product was insured all along the route, customs duty at clearance at import and the taxes thereof, the port handling and clearance charges. Let's say there was no customs duty, but there were clearance charges or the administrative charges charged by the customs for inspection, etc., etc. The port handling, every port charges you a handling charge so that the equipment that is being used at the port is paid for, and then this will give you the final delivery cost or the landed cost at the factory. Total cost of ownership. What is this concept of total cost of ownership? Let's say, before we get into details, let's say you are looking at buying a new car. Now this new car, when you consider, you will consider the cost of the car, the other duties and taxes that you need to pay, including the insurance. So you have a cost at the showroom price and the on-road price. After the on-road price, there is something that you are also looking at in terms of trying to make a decision as to which car you want to buy. And that is the cost of running that vehicle on a regular basis in terms of mileage, in terms of service costs, in terms of spare parts, if any, in terms of tire costs over a period of the next 5 years, maybe next 6 years, depending on what kind of tires or what kind of driving you are going to do. This becomes the total cost of ownership. So the cost is not, total cost does not actually mean the cost of the product, but the total life cycle cost of a product or service for the entire life cycle of that product or service. It includes direct and indirect cost. Direct is the cost of the goods, and indirect are the cost to be incurred after the product has been owned up by you. Beyond purchase price and key decision making tool, there could be a situation where the cost, the initial cost of a vehicle, of a car example that we were looking at, may be low, but its maintenance cost and the total life cycle cost is much higher as compared to other models. In that case, you may have to look at your decision, review your decision, and look at other options that are available before you take a final call on the car that you want to buy. Components of TCO, the purchase price, the acquisition and transported costs. Let's say you buy a car and then the company tells you that you will get delivery at home. When you avail of delivery at home, they are going to use a vehicle to either drive it, to transport the vehicle, transport your car, or it is going to be driven. Now you would not opt for somebody else driving your car to your residence, which may be about 8, 10, 20 kilometers away. So you would want it to be, to incur the transport cost of moving the material from the showroom, your car from the showroom to your residence. Operation and maintenance. What happens for everyday operations in terms of fuel, air, washing the car, parking charges, everything else, and the maintenance. Downtime and quality costs. If the quality of the product is bad, you turn up paying more cost on trying to maintain the product and maintain its quality so that it lasts for a given life cycle that you have decided. And finally, the disposal and resale value. So when you decide to actually replace your new car which you are buying, what is it going to be as resale value if you have to sell this car 5 years down the line, or 3 years down the line, or 10 years down the line, whatever is the time period that you decide. What are the benefits of using TCO? You get a better picture of your sourcing decisions are much better. You are deciding on a long-term basis, ensuring that the TCO remains manageable. Improved negotiation, you are able to negotiate in terms of service costs, in terms of maintenance costs, or have getting some discount over the life cycle of the product on the spare parts that would be required in future. Cost optimization, try and see what costs could be optimized in terms of transportation, logistics, etc. Long-term profitability. Is the TCO gives you an idea whether it is this product that you are trying to buy. Is it a long-term profitable product or it's just the short term? If the decision changes, you could look at a different timeline that you would like to dispose of the product based on what that it has served the purpose that you intended it for. And the cost TCO will definitely help you reduce the risk that you are carrying with respect to a better sourcing decision. How to improve the total cost of ownership? Life cycle cost analysis helps you understand what are going to be the cost of the vehicle. Let's say a car, the first year, what is going to be its cost? The second year, what is it going to be? Third year, and so on. Vendor selection and negotiation. Many a times you will see that it is better to select a different vendor to give you the materials rather than the vendor you have selected first. The reason being that neither of them may negotiate on the cost of the product, but one vendor is ready to give you better service, better deliveries, better and bear transportation costs to certain extent. Preventive maintenance, whether the product that you are buying requires preventive maintenance or whether it can run without it. Energy efficiency, what is the kind of electricity or other energy that is going to be used, whether if it's a private car that you own, you are looking at energy and efficiency, mileage, things like that. Training and process improvement. Do you require training for running the equipment? Now, if we change our concept from a car to a machine, is your staff ready or trained to run that machine? And how will that machine included in your processes improve the processes of manufacturing? What are the supplier partnerships that you would like to get into? Is this machine supplier being looked at as a long-term supplier? Then you would want to develop supplier partnership so that maybe some software, some upgrades can be availed quickly and faster. Cost of quality. Total cost related to quality is called cost of quality. Includes prevention, appraisal, and failures. Strategic business imperative impacts profitability and reputation. Now, the cost of quality is the total cost related to quality, which includes prevention. That means there are certain checks and balances that are put in place at the process itself to prevent a bad component being manufactured. That this is where comes the prevention cost. Appraisal and failures. Appraisal is where the inspection costs that are taken care of, where an audit sampling is done or any other method that is done to appraise that the quality is correct. And failures. What happens if certain products fail? That means when your supplier manufactures 100 pieces, he has a rejection rate or a failure rate of 5%, which means he needs to keep producing 105 pieces to ensure that 100 of them are correct. Strategic business imperative. You must have this. It is an imperative for a strategic decision on the long-term basis of your business. Whether it's the supplier, whether it's the material, whether it's the process that he follows, all this will play a major role in your business decision. It impacts profitability and reputation. Try and imagine if a defective product reaches your customer, you are not only likely to lose that customer, you are likely to lose a good amount of the market because this customer who is dissatisfied is going to talk about the reputation of your product, your brand, and the performance of the product and his experience. Components of cost of quality: prevention costs, appraisal costs, internal failure costs, and external failure costs. Prevention costs, as I just explained earlier, are those costs which you incur to prevent bad quality. Appraisal costs are those costs which you do in which you spend in terms of inspection, testing, sampling testing, whatever are the processes that you have put in place. Internal failure cost is prevention plus appraisal costs, which are restricted to failures inside the company. That is why they are known as internal failure costs. And these, whatever is the amount that you incur here, remember it is far less as compared to external failure cost. External failure cost is where a failed product or a defective product has reached your customer. The cost of external failure cannot really be determined because you do not know how much it is going to affect your business and future sales. Benefits of optimizing cost of quality: improved profitability. You are much better positioned. You are sure what is going to be your profits, what are going to be your sales, and that all the sales that have been registered are going to be without returns. Higher customer satisfaction. A customer is much satisfied if he gets the right product at the right time in the right condition as he expected. Strong brand reputation. People keep coming back to purchase your product, or they become brand ambassadors for you without any formal agreement, but they will always talk high of your brand, and that is where a strong brand reputation builds. Operational efficiency. When you are receiving materials, let's say from a supplier, and if it doesn't have rejects, your operational efficiency goes up because now there is no fear of a failure taking place of a product not fitting into an assembly as you expect it to be. Competitive advantage: with higher operational efficiency, with better quality, you are able to compete in the market at an advantage because now you are sure that your products do not fail, you have better customer satisfaction and a high reputation of your brand. To summarize, import and export involve multiple cost elements. Export pricing impacts competitiveness. Procurement costs include duties and landed cost. Total cost of ownership gives life cycle cost view, and cost of quality drives long-term success. Let's just clearly understand, or rather summarize better. Import and export involve multiple cost elements like freight cost, insurance, customs clearance, duties, etc. Export pricing impacts competitiveness. You got to be very clear as to the kind of pricing strategy that you want to include when you are trying to price your products in the export market. Procurement costs include duties and landed costs, all the paraphernalia that is required for the product to land at your port and move to the factory. Total cost of ownership gives life cycle cost view, because if you have to take a proper decision as to sourcing better, then you need to understand what is the total cost of ownership for whatever product you are trying to purchase, import, or use for your new products. Cost of quality drives long-term success. This cost of quality is the cost of quality that you are manufacturing, and how does it affect long-term success? If your cost of quality, let us understand, cannot be zero, because there would be appraisal cost, there would be prevention cost that will be required to ensure that the cost of failure is zero, and that is what drives long-term success. Thank you.